Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From 52, the kick wobbles, but makes it through. And the Seahawks win it at the gun.
Anybody notice that Al Michaels actually is better this year? I think he has really upped his game. There seemed to be a fastball that was slowing down in recent years. I think he's done a pretty good job on the Thursday night games. Exciting ending to Thursday night football in Arizona last night. A good start to, believe it or not, week four already. Week four. Good morning on this Football Friday. Before, not a good, but a great weekend. Starting tonight, Florida State on upset alert in Charlottesville, Virginia. Pretty damn good. I promise you that Virginia will be in the smell test when I give it out to you later on in the show. Wes is in for Max. Max is at a wedding. Tomorrow, the best Saturday of the season, maybe all season long, heavyweight ranked versus ranked opponents everywhere you look, highlighted by three monster games. LSU at Ole Miss at 3:30, and then two incredible matchups at 7:30, Bama at Georgia and Oregon in Happy Valley to face Penn State in one of their whiteout games. That is going to be an incredible game. I hate that you got Bama, Georgia, and Oregon and Penn State going on simultaneously, but that's the way it will go tomorrow night. Sunday, we've got 3-0 Philly early at 3-0 Tampa, 3-0 Indy at the 2-1 Rams. We've got Ravens Chiefs in the late window, both of those teams 1-2. And then the Sunday nighter, Micah Parsons returns to Dallas to face the Cowboys. And if you're a golf fan, the Ryder Cup is underway in Europe. Is off to a really good start. We'll keep you posted on that throughout the morning. Our team, 1 o'clock in Atlanta to face the Falcons off the worst loss, really, of week three. Not even close. The Falcons got demolished by the Panthers 30-0 in a game in which Michael Penix Jr. was horrendous. Really, really bad. I watched his Wednesday, quarterback press conference. He's a very impressive guy. Very humble, very down-to-earth, very real about the current situation. I expect him to bounce back. I think he's talented. I loved him coming out in that draft. I thought that he had a chance to be a really good NFL quarterback. I still do. I think the Falcons are very dangerous. I've talked about this all week, and I think he will play well Sunday, or better, be hard to play worse than he did in Carolina. The big question for our team is, who is going to start at quarterback? So, as we sit here at 10 a.m. on Friday, 48, 51 hours away from kickoff, I think it's going to be Marcus Mariota. Now, last week at this time, I pretty much told you that it was going to be Marcus Mariota because I kind of knew that there was a strong, strong sense out there that Jaden would not be able to go. I don't know that this week, but I think if Jaden were going to play this week, he would have been full go either Wednesday or Thursday. Now, it's possible he's full go today, and we get from Dan Quinn sometime in the 12:30-ish part of the show, and we'll carry it live when he talks after practice. We'll get something, I'm sure, something, you know, close to definitive. If he practices today full go, I think he's the starter. I just don't think he will be anything other than limited today. But we'll find that out later in the show. I think I'm leaning strongly in the direction of Marcus Mariota getting his second start. And that would probably be the last one. I just have this weird sense that they've known all along it was a 2 to 3 week injury, you know, and they've played it well by making, you know, back-to-back teams prepare for two quarterbacks, no matter how similar these quarterbacks are. If Mariota starts, this is going to be a different challenge on Sunday. I think a much different challenge. I thought he played exceptionally well on Sunday. We all did. I think the offense is a great fit for Marcus Mariota. I think the quarterback situation from a backup perspective is outstanding here for us right now. It's the quarterback that doesn't desire right now to be a starter. He is a great mentor for the young quarterback. He is a perfect fit stylistically for the offense. He's got a great relationship with Cliff. He feels great about himself. It's the perfect scenario. With that said, Marcus Mariota has played a lot of football during his career. And yeah, you can say that the game he played against Carolina last year, the second half against Dallas last year, and last Sunday is some of the best football he's played in his career, especially recently, because really you got to go back to 2022 in Atlanta for his last start. By the way, he didn't play that badly that year in Atlanta, but he's still Marcus Mariota. He's not Jaden Daniels. All due respect to Marcus Mariota, who I like, who I think is an exceptional backup quarterback and probably could start for 10 teams minimum in this league, maybe not at the same level that he's played at because the system's so good here. But if Mariota starts Sunday, if they've got to go with Marcus Mariota, especially with a limited crew at wide receiver, no Terry McLaurin, which is very likely, no Noah Brown, which certainly seems likely at this point, no John Bates, you know, they'll probably line up with a lot of six offensive linemen. We'll see that heavy jumbo with Trent Scott in the game. They'll try to run the football again. Bill's still dealing with a knee. Now, everybody says it's not serious, but he was held out of practice again yesterday. I'm okay with their running back situation right now. If it's Rodriguez and Jeremy McNichols and, you know, somebody else that they bring up from the practice squad, if Bill can't go, I'm fine with that. But I think Atlanta is a completely different challenge than the Raiders were. First of all, and I've watched now a lot of Atlanta, and I'll have my keys to a win over Atlanta coming up. The Falcons are pretty good on defense. Now, last week's score would indicate that they're not very good on defense if you just looked at the score. The truth is that was not a defensive loss. That was an offensive loss. Penix missed receivers all over the field, turned the ball over consistently. It was a bad day for the Atlanta offense. The Panthers generated just 224 yards of offense. You know, Bryce Young threw for 121 yards. That was it. Their defense, the Falcons' defense, can get after you. It's a different defense than the one Washington faced in the late season last year in December on Sunday Night Football when they clinched the playoff berth. Caden Ellis is bordering on becoming a star in this league, number 55. Jesse Bates is back. He is an outstanding safety. They use him in the pass rush. They got a rookie, number zero. Not a rookie, but a player that hasn't really done much so far in Atlanta. The kid Diablo from Virginia Tech, who's playing at a very high level. They've got a very good pass rush, and they will come after you. They will come after you on third and long, third and medium, and they'll play a lot of man coverage behind it. But with the receiving core being what it is, they probably can afford to play some man coverage behind it and go after Mariota. That's going to be one of the real keys for Washington, is staying in really good down and distance, because I think third and medium, third and long favors Atlanta this week. The Falcons have one of the best players in the league in Bijan Robinson. He can take over a game, as he did, by the way, 2 weeks ago in Minnesota against a very good defensive team. 22 carries in that game for 143 yards, had another three receptions in the game, and they rolled. Now, part of that was J.J. McCarthy struggling in Atlanta's defense. He was very good in that game. But Bijan Robinson is a star. Their two backs, Robinson and Algier, best combo along with Montgomery and Gibbs in the league. They can run the football. Their O-line is strong. They've got Drake London legit. Darnell Mooney's coming back from an injury. He's had a little bit of a slow going. Part of that's the quarterback. And they've got Kyle Pitts, who's become a little bit more of a featured guy so far in their first three games with 15 catches in three games. There was a lot of consternation about him, a lot of skepticism about his work ethic, about his reliability in the run game so far. Remember, he was the number four pick in the 2021 draft. Was an absolute stud coming out of Florida. They've got players. They've got players. And this is a completely different test than the Raiders were. The Raiders were a great setup situation for anybody playing on the East Coast against them Sunday. The Falcons are really a hornet's nest of a place they'll be going into in terms of the embarrassment that they suffered, the capability that they have with their players, and the need in this league, and typically, especially early in the season, pretty much you're guaranteed to get their absolute best Sunday. I hope Jaden Daniels practices full today and we get a surprise announcement. I think it would be a surprise for me. I want Jaden Daniels to start the game Sunday because getting to 3-1 is huge in the NFC right now. They go to the Chargers next week. They'll be an underdog, you know, against the Chargers next week. That will be, you know, a game that will be difficult. Of course, they can win it. I felt like they could have beaten the Packers. It was a bad setup for Washington that particular night. But this is one that you really want to get. To get to 3-1 rather than falling to 2-2 with a road game at the Chargers, especially with the way the NFC has started off. Talked about this yesterday or the day before. 9-3 straight up against the AFC at this point. It's going to take 10 wins minimum to be a part of the playoff conversation. As it stands now, things change as we know. Big game Sunday. Not as big as last week. Had to get that one. This is going to be a tougher one to get. But if you can get this one as a one-point favorite currently, that's it. One-point favorite against a team that lost 30-0 last week. If you can get that one and be there 3-1 and tracking with all of the other really good NFC teams, be huge. For me, I'd feel much better about it if Jaden Daniels, a healthy Jaden Daniels, a 100% ready to roll Jaden Daniels, not a limited Jaden Daniels. I don't want a limited Jaden Daniels on the field. Mariota's good enough to put out there if your starter isn't 100%. You don't play Jaden Daniels at this point in the season if he's not Jaden, if he can't do everything that Jaden does. Now, if this were later in the season at Atlanta, as a 9-6 football team desperately needing a win, yeah, he plays if he's a little bit less than what Jaden typically is. I hope he plays, though. I do. I think they'll need him to beat Atlanta. I think it could be potentially ugly on offense without him. All right, my keys to a win over the Falcons coming up. You'll hear Jay Gruden this hour. Jay is on my podcast today, but I've carved out about 8-9 minutes of Jay talking about our team, what he has seen so far through 3 weeks. Is he okay if they're going with Mariota instead of Jaden? You'll hear Jay Gruden this hour on all of that. We'll get back to my keys and give you how Washington beats Atlanta when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Washington at Atlanta on Sunday. A team that they beat late last season, that December Sunday night game. What a football game that was. They were down 17-7 at the half. They were lucky they weren't down by more. If you recall, Raheem Morris did a horrible job all night long with the clock and with timeouts. Had no clue what he was doing. He's bad at that. Raheem Morris is actually a good motivator. He is a guy that everybody in the league loves. They have killed him down there in Atlanta for his clock management. He is one of the worst in the league at it. In fact, that could be a factor on Sunday. That game was a Jaden Daniels special. He put that team on his back in the second half, led them to a lead. Eventually, Penix Jr. tied it to Pitts, and then Washington won it with the overtime coin flip and going down the field with Jaden. Just magical on that final drive. Remember, the overtime rules are different now. So a touchdown on the opening drive of overtime doesn't end the game. The other team gets an opportunity. All right, Washington beats Atlanta if. I think the number one key to this game is stopping the run. And they've done a really good job against it in the first three games. They're number five in the league per DVOA in rush defense. This was their biggest weakness, team weakness last year, defensive weakness last year. And they've improved. But how much of the improvement is because they faced a giant team that had a banged-up offensive line, was missing their best offensive lineman, Andrew Thomas, and really was an almost impotent offensive football team in the opener? How much of it is because of the Raiders and their bad offensive line? I think a lot of it is due to that in terms of the lofty sort of rankings right now, advanced and traditional in terms of statistics. Now, I thought the run defense was pretty good against Green Bay as well. Their problem against the Packers was coverage and miscommunication in coverage. But they gave up some yards to Josh Jacobs. He got him when he really needed him. Number one key to beating the Falcons Sunday, you've got to stop Bijan Robinson. He is elite level. He is a superstar. He is going to be on Sunday, if Jaden's not on the field, the best football player on the field. Number seven, Atlanta Falcons running back. He is so smooth. Zone runs, screens, no matter, you put the ball in his hands, his vision, his cut ability, his wiggle, his make-miss ability is incredible. And then he's got some power, too. And then he's got speed. I mean, he was a top 10 pick for a reason. He's turned into an absolute stud. The Minnesota defense could not stop him 2 weeks ago. And he was essentially taken out of the game on Sunday by the score as much as anything else. It's not just Bijan, though. He's the superstar. Tyler Algiers is one of the best backs in the league that is a backup. Best backup, but he'd start for a third of the NFL teams, maybe half of them. And he's power, but he can run too. You've got to tackle well in this football game. You've got to shut down the edges. This would have been a Dietrich Wise game. You've got to set the edges against the Falcons. Remember last year, Bijan had, in the first half, I think he had close to 100 yards in the first half in the game last year. When they were down 17-7 in the first half, he was averaging, I think, 8 yards a carry in that first half. Atlanta really should have been up by so much more. Robinson had 90 yards for the game on 17 carries, 5.3 yards per carry. Algier averaged 6.3 yards per carry, but 80 of those 90 came in the first half. Washington, remember, dominated time of possession in the second half of that game. Number one, Washington beats Atlanta if they can stop Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier, and put the game on Penix Jr. You know, Atlanta runs a ton of pistol. They are not under center with Penix. They weren't under center last year with Kirk. Lots of pistol. You'll see it with two tight ends a lot on Sunday. I feel sure of that. They did not do and run a lot of personnel, 12 personnel Sunday, in part because they got behind and they had to throw the football. So they were in 11 personnel more. Charlie Warner, their second tight end to Pitts, was a bit banged up. But you're going to see two tight ends, pistol, and an effort by Atlanta to come out and run the football and control the football and take the pressure off their young. And by the way, right now, maybe low in confidence quarterback. Number one, stop the run. Number two, you've got to cover on third down. You got to cover, period. There have been too many miscommunications in coverage. Drake London is good. Darnell Mooney is a phenomenal route runner. You've got guys like Kyle Pitts, as I mentioned, who are a little bit better right now than they've been. But you've got to cover better. You've got Trey Amos looks like he's a go. I think he was full yesterday. San Ristol's got to be better than he's been in the first three games of this year. Lattimore should be a go. Jeremy Reeves is replacing Will Harris. I don't mind that substitution. I like Jeremy Reeves. They've got to be better in coverage, though. They got to communicate better. You know who's got to be better in coverage? Bobby Wagner's got to be better in coverage, especially if he's matched up against backs or a tight end like Pitts. So you've got to make sure that you minimize these coverage breakdowns, the eye discipline, the communication. We saw some great communication when Jeremy Reeves came into the game. Because Penix can stretch the field. He can throw it. Let me just say this. This may seem outlandish. Penix has a top 10 arm in the league. Top 10 arm. Just pure arm talent. He's just not seeing it right now. And he's panicking a little bit. You got to cover well. And you got to stop the run so that you don't have play action and short down in distances. I am so optimistic about what Washington is up front this year versus last year. This is going to be a really good test. I don't care how bad Atlanta was last week. Stop the run and be much better than you've been in coverage. This will be the biggest run test, by the way, by far. Okay, the Giants, the Packers, and the Raiders are not what the Falcons are capability-wise in the run. Let's flip it to offense. They've got to really be in good down and distance against Atlanta. You know, if they can run the football as effectively as they did with some of that heavy personnel, I think they can do that against Atlanta. I think they can run the football a little bit against Atlanta. Stay ahead of the chains, because I think third and medium or third and long, I think it's advantage Atlanta this week for two reasons. One, Washington's offense, from a wide receiver standpoint, could be severely limited. Atlanta loves to come with extra pressure, play a lot of man coverage behind it. That's what they did anyway against Carolina, and they did it a little bit in that opener against Tampa. They like to be aggressive. They like to get Ellis. They like to blitz the safety, Bates. They will get after Marcus Mariota on obvious passing downs, play man coverage behind it, and if you can play man coverage this week, it's not that big of a challenge if you don't have Terry, if you don't have Noah Brown, if Debo's the one guy and he's not a stretch the field guy. So you can play a little bit more aggressively, play a little bit more press coverage. If you're in obvious passing downs in this game with Mariota in particular, I think that could be a problem. I think it could lead to sacks and some bad plays offensively. They've got to stay ahead of the chains. They can't be in second and third and long throughout the day and hope to overcome that against this defense with the receiving core that they'll likely put out onto the field. If they can run the football and stay out of the second and third longs like they did against the Raiders, that's the formula offensively. And I will just say, if they are in second and third and long, you got to protect. Because they come, and they come with speed, and they've got athleticism. They are much better, their pass rushes, than it was last year. Third downs will be huge in this game. Did you know? I didn't know this until I started to really look at Atlanta last night and look at our team in the matchup. Washington's the number one third down defense in the league through 3 weeks. Again, small sample size, and two of the opponents have been pretty bad on offense. 28.6% they're allowing on third down, number one in the league. The way to get off the field on third down this week is to stop the run and put the game on Penix, and you'll see some punts. You know, punts are becoming fewer and further between because of the field goal length now that you have in this lead, in this league. You know, basically you get to that other team's 40, you're trotting your kicker out for a 57-yard try. You're not punting from the other team's 40. You're either going for it or kicking a field goal. And with all the fourth down go for it teams. But they can force some punts if they can stop the run. Third down. Excellent third down team through 3 weeks. And I think lastly, you got to get some takeaways this week. You know, typically on the road, it's helpful to get a takeaway or two, to be plus one, plus two in the turnover margin. Washington is just one of three teams right now in the entire league without a takeaway through 3 weeks. Just three teams are without a takeaway. Those three teams are Washington and then the Jets and the Dolphins. You know, the teams with just one takeaway are Cleveland, Dallas, and the Giants. So, you know, the better teams are getting takeaways. The worst teams aren't. Washington is the aberration in that category right now. Zero takeaways, but a winning record. Everybody else with zero or one has a losing record at this point. Time to start taking the ball away. And Penix Jr. put him up for grabs last week. If you can stop the run, because they are going to try to run the football, and you can put the game on Penix, you can get one or two this week. And yeah, that would be big. That would be huge. That's the difference, by the way, in, you know, a win of more than seven if you're plus one or plus two, and a game that's coming down to the wire with a chance to win it or lose it. Should be a hell of a football game, actually. Really good football game. With Mariota, it should be a good football game. With Jaden, it would be a good football game. But I would much prefer to have Jaden Daniels on the field Sunday. I'd like to have his arm strength. I'd like to have his ability to see it quickly. I thought Marcus did last week to avoid some of this pass rush, to be a part of the run game, which Mariota will be as well. This is going to be a tough football game Sunday for Washington. Stop the run. Cover. No miscommunications. Good down and distance on offense. Don't give Atlanta a chance to blitz and play man coverage on a limited core of wide receivers behind it consistently on second and third and passing situations. Get third down stops. You're number one in the league through 3 weeks, and a few takeaways this week would go a long way towards a win. So Jay Gruden, the former head coach of the Redskins, is on my podcast every week. We record it sometimes in the morning. And when we do, I like to play some of it here on the radio show. And Jay, I asked him basically through 3 weeks, even with the injuries and with the, you know, mystery around who the starting quarterback will be, I asked him to kind of just give me his thoughts on what he sees with this team through 3 weeks.
Solid. I really think they're solid. I think as I watch the rest of the league play, and which I have seen a lot of these teams play, almost all of them, Washington is as good as, you know, 85% of them right now, in my opinion. There's some bad football teams out there, but Washington really, you know, if they get their offensive line continuing to improve, we got to figure out another weapon to go along with Debo if Terry's out for some time. Defensively, they play hard. They're sound. Yeah, and Cliff calls a good game, and both quarterbacks can run and are athletic. So I think they're going to be in every game. I think they're going to have to figure out something to do about a weapon, big plays coming down the stretch here. Not down the stretch, but soon we got to get to big plays. But overall, I think they're as good as 85% of the teams in the league.
How hard is it as an offensive coordinator to generate real consistency moving the football or even with explosives when you are really limited at wide receiver?
Well, that's difficult. You know, it really is. But they got to, you know, Debo still can play a little bit. And obviously, the rookie Lane, he's got the speed. And hopefully Luke, with his touchdown, will gain some confidence and some momentum. And Chris Moore's made a couple good plays here and there. So they got some guys that can run and make some plays. It's just a matter of, I think the key is to continue to be able to pound the football. They did a good job against the Raiders. They brought in the extra tackle to play tight end, yep. And they were able to move the ball between the tackles. And that's going to be the key. That will open up some of the big play actions and some of the things that get down the field. Without the running game, which they struggled at against Green Bay, obviously, they're going to struggle. So they got to make sure they maintain balance in their play calling, and good things will happen.
All right, so Mariota played exceptionally well against the Raiders, and, you know, there was a lot of, you know, recency bias response from a lot of fans and others to say, hey, you don't have to rush Jaden back. We're fine at quarterback. You know, Jaden can sit back and rest and get completely healthy because Marcus Mariota can carry this team for a little bit. Do you agree with that?
I don't. No, I think when Jaden's ready, you gotta play him. And that's, like I said, I never got into the doctor business. I just, when Jaden said he's ready and the trainers and the doctor says he's ready, he's playing. I'm not going to say I'm going to wait another week because, in my opinion, you should wait another week. I'm using their opinion and Jaden. So if Jaden says I'm good, I say, hey, trainer, is he good? Yep, he's good. The doctor, is he good? Yep. Hey, get back in there, son of a gun. So, yeah, I'm going to play him as soon as he's ready. I don't give a dang. Every game is important. We know that. It's going to come down. The wild card is going to come down to one game, or the division championship is going to come down to one game. You can't just say, well, we'll wait. We'll just, you know, take a pass against the Falcons coming off a 30-0 blowout loss. They're going to come with a chip on their shoulder and play their ass off. You know, you can't afford to lose a game that you should win.
How did you think Mariota played last week?
I thought he played great. I do. I mean, he was efficient with the football. He was accurate for the most part, and he obviously ran the ball good. He had that one fumble, but that was a good punch out by the Raiders. But overall, I think it was a solid performance. He played as good as about 20 other quarterbacks in the NFL did as starters last week.
So do you think at the end of this year, given the performance on Sunday, let's just say he's got another one like that, you know, at some point this year, maybe this Sunday, do you think that leads to an opportunity for him to start somewhere next year?
I don't know, just because, you know, you got another draft coming up and everybody's kind of got the quarterbacks right now. You know, you talk about, yeah, so, and plus he's got the injury history. So for somebody to go out on a limb and give him a good contract, 2 or 3 or 4 year contract like Sam Darnold got, I think would be a stretch just because of injury history, not because of his ability and his age.
All right, let's talk about Sunday, and let's just assume here for now that it's Mariota Sunday. How do they beat the Falcons?
I think you get on them early so the Falcons can go, oh, here we go again type thing, and just get in their heads. Falcons are going to come out, you know, with their hair on fire, you know, because they're embarrassed for what happened last week, so we got to guard against that, but you got to put your foot on their throat early and get them arguing on the sideline. Maybe they'll fire another tight end coach or something like that after the game. No, man, you got to be kidding me. They fire my guy, Ike.
I know. It's your guy.
Ike's a detail-oriented guy.
I know.
Good guy to have. I love Ike.
I know you do.
Yeah. I know Raheem quite well. I actually texted Raheem. But I was like, you know, they just didn't, him and the coordinator didn't get along. Well, that happens sometimes. But
Ike and Zach Robinson didn't get along?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I have to get on them early and obviously protect the football and force Penix with some bad throws. Penix, you know, if we can get it after Penix a little bit, his confidence might be shaken a little bit because he was absolutely horrific against the Carolina Panthers. I mean, he's staring people down, double clutching, throwing it in the stands, and throwing it right to guys. I mean, you check your fourth progression, throw a check wide to the back, and there's a guy flat defender right there. He pick sixes it. I mean, you got to see things like that. I mean, I'm bitter because Atlanta was my pick last week.
I know. Well, it happens to us all.
I want to crush Michael Penix's confidence early in the game, and it'll be a landslide victory for Washington. But the longer we let them hang around, they do have some good players with Bijan and Drake London. They have some good players that can hurt you offensively and defensively. They have some good pass rushers if you get behind the chains or get behind in a passing situation.
Jay Gruden. Talk to you next week. Enjoy it this weekend.
You got it. Thanks, Kevin.
Jay Gruden, you can listen to the rest of that on my podcast when it's out later on this afternoon. He made a pick in the game. He had his lock of the week, and he had a lot of thoughts on some of the other things going on in the NFL, including why all of the blocked field goals. So here's what I want to do right now. I want to get a sense from you guys in terms of, are you more right now? You've got two of your best players, arguably your best two players, could completely be out on Sunday. No Jaden, no Terry. That's a good bet right now. I would say that a few weeks ago, if somebody had said, no Jaden, no Terry, no chance, you know, against a decent team on the road, what's your confidence level now that they can win a game without arguably their two best players? 301-230-0980. You're very confident. You're not confident at all. They will be more likely than not, as we sit here right now, subject to change, and we'll hear something from Dan Quinn in about 2 hours, especially as it relates to Jaden Daniels. There is a chance. I wouldn't wager on it. I'd wager on Mariota starting. But 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we would have said, no Jaden, no Terry, not much of a chance against a, you know, a halfway decent team on the road. But maybe you think differently now after seeing Mariota last week, after seeing Terry struggle a little bit through the first 3 weeks. What's your confidence level now that they can beat Atlanta, that they can win a game without their two best players? 301-230-0980. Calls next. Phone lines open. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Happy Friday, folks. This is Wesley Clark. Another big weekend in the NFL started last night between the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals. The Seahawks were up 17-3, but the Cardinals rallied back to make it 20-20. In the fourth quarter, it turned into the battle of the Ohio State wide receivers. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Jaxon Smith-Njigba both trading big plays, but JSN had the last laugh, pulling in a 22-yard catch that set up the game-winning field goal. Seattle has now won 8 in a row against the Cards. They moved to 3-1, while the Arizona Cardinals dropped to 2-2. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open up the app, tap in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can watch Denton Office throughout football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you decide to join and turn on notifications. Stay up to date on all things DC sports. I'm Wesley Clark with the Team 980.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. We've got a line or two open as well if you want to weigh in. The question is, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, no Jaden, no Terry, yeah, no chance. I think most people would have said, yeah, that's a problem. They're the two best players on the team, and if you don't have your two best players on your team and one of them is a quarterback, you're in trouble. What's your confidence level now? Because it probably would have been very low a few weeks back. What's your confidence level now? 301-230-0980. If they enter Sunday's game without their two best players, Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. My confidence isn't very high. Honestly, I think this is a tough spot for Washington. I'll talk about that when we get to the game prediction at the end of the show. I think this could be a very tough spot, even if they were healthy, without their best two players, or certainly, you know, their best player, and I would put Terry certainly in the top three, top four, worst case. I think that it's a problem. My confidence level in them winning the game isn't very high. I think you've got issues if it's Mariota against that defense when you're putting, you know, Debo, who doesn't stretch the field necessarily, out there with Jalen Lane, Luke McCaffrey, and Chris Moore. That would be my biggest issue. I think Atlanta's defense is more than capable. So my confidence level in them winning the game without their two best players is low. What's your confidence level? 301-230-0980. Let's start with Derek in Capitol Heights. Derek, go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin. Before I ask you a question, can I ask you a question? Do you feel, I know every team and every week is different. Yeah. Do you feel the Carolina Panthers are a good team?
No.
So with that being said, I know this is a different team, a different week. Once I seen what Carolina did to Atlanta, I had zero concerns.
Right.
But listening to you this morning, I started to get a little more concerned, but I'm still confident we can get the victory, and I'm almost willing to say decisive, actually.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, this is the typical reaction. You know, the NFL fans and pundits live in, you know, the arena of recency bias, and what you see last week is what you think you're going to see the next week. And people, and I say this all the time, and it's not to be, you know, condescending to people who don't bet, but people who bet this sport understand that that's just not true. Typically, what right. you see one week, the next week, especially early in the season, it's the opposite of that. We've already seen that. Look right. at the Giants in week one and then what they did to the Cowboys in week two. Look at the Bears after getting absolutely smoked by the Lions, you know, and looking terrible, bouncing back against the Cowboys. We've had multiple examples. The Browns were 0-2. The Packers looked like Super Bowl, you know, the best, the leading Super Bowl contender, and they lose to Cleveland. These things are givens in the NFL week to week. And Atlanta has, it'd be one thing if Carolina was off a 30-0, you know, loss and was a 1-2 football team. I'd still expect their best, but they don't have the same level of talent that Atlanta has. Atlanta's got good players. They've got good players. Penix Jr. was the problem, and maybe, Derek, this will be one of those situations where everybody on Atlanta is ready for the game, but they've got a quarterback that just is struggling right now in his eighth start or seventh start or whatever it is, and that's a big advantage for Washington. But I would feel like this would be a bit of a I don't want to call it a trap game, but a tough game to win if we were fully healthy. Without their two best players, arguably, my confidence level isn't that high. 301-230-0980. But Derek, finish up, because you asked me a question and I answered it, but what's your answer to the question? Are you confident or not?
I'm absolutely confident.
Okay.
I'm absolutely confident. I really don't feel like this is going to be any test at all. I really don't.
Right. Thank you, Derek. Appreciate it. I mean, I hope Derek's right. I do. I can tell you that I and several of my friends would line up to book that action Sunday, because more times than not, not every time, but more times than not, the team that has some players and has some capability that loses that way one week comes back and usually wins outright, or certainly plays far differently the next week than they did the week before. How confident are you right now if Washington has to play Atlanta Sunday without their two best players, Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin? Flint is calling from North Carolina. Go ahead, Flint.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, my name is Frank. I'm sorry. It's Frank.
Oh, Frank. I'm sorry about that.
Hey, no problem. No problem. My confidence is extremely low. I have not wavered off my 5-12 season for this team. And the reason why my confidence is extremely low, it goes back to that 2024 draft. Those draft picks, besides Jaden, have not, you know, really paid dividends. Newton, McCaffrey, Sennett, And this is the type, of game that you really need your draft picks to pay the dividends now. And so right now they're looking like, you know, misses right now. Those draft picks, they really can't contribute. And so I think that also giving away that 40th pick, I'm just going back, revisiting history, giving away that 40th pick to the eventual world champions, Philadelphia Eagles, to select an all-pro safety that we could have had at the 36th pick, and we could have had Adrian Cooper at the 40th pick. And so now we could have moved on with Bobby Wagner. But now what Atlanta's going to do, they're going to use that tight end to get Bobby Wagner in space because they know he can't cover tight ends. They know he can't run in space. So, no, my confidence is extremely low, and it really goes back to what Adam Peters did in that 2024 draft in the second round.
Look, you can feel that way. That's a bit of a reach for me to feel not confident based on the draft that – you know, those particular players have played 20-something games, and the only reason they played 20-something is because they got to the NFC Championship game last year. You know, typically, you don't rely on, you know, the drafted players after the first or second round for a couple of years. So I hear you, and so far, you know, at this point, that draft is looking less, you know, pretty than it was this time last year, with Sanra still playing at a high level, Coleman playing at a high level, you know, the thought that Newton, you know, off that injury would play well. Newton hasn't played poorly, actually. Sanra still's taken a step back here through the first three games, and he's playing a lot more in the slot. Last year, he was playing outside. Maybe outside's a better spot for him. Let's go to G.
Kevin,
Oh, go ahead, Flint. Go ahead, Frank. Oh, sorry, Frank. Sorry about that. Let's go to G from the shop. G, confidence level going into Atlanta without their two best players is what?
10 is the highest, Kim.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, 10, man. 10.5.
Because, like you said,
Shane, it definitely, from a betting mindset, it definitely is a trap game, just like it trapped Jay Gruden and whoever bet against the Panthers last week.
But
I do agree with what Jay Gruden said. That's why I'm at a 10.5 or 11, because we do got a solid team. And if you had told me before the season started we wasn't going to have Terry or Jaden going on the road against Atlanta, they ain't got Mike Vick, so I would have felt confident then, because I felt confident when we picked Murray Oda up. That's the type of backup we need, because we already got the franchise quarterback. We just need a quarterback like a Charlie Batch, like a Chad Henne that can fill in for 2-3 games and go 2-1.
Haven't you mentioned Charlie Batch in the past to me? You're a big Charlie Batch fan, aren't you?
You got to have a lot of respect for them type of dudes like Rodney Pete. People were sitting on the bench thinking they can relax the whole time, and they come in when the lights is on and perform at a high level. And shout out
Rodney Pete was here. Remember when Pete was here briefly?
Exactly. But I think Mariota, like Rodney Pete, is that type of quarterback. Journeyman, very experienced, went through the ups and downs, and definitely has the talent. And he's avoided a lot of wear and tear these last couple of years. So I got Mariota, and also it's lined up so perfect for Mariota. I don't know what voodoo he did, but he's about to go on a revenge tour on a lot of teams that he used to play for.
That's true.
And we saw Atlanta was wrong for benching him for Ritter in the first place, because Ritter is where now? He's probably fixing Jersey Mike subs right now, Kevin. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's on a revenge tour. We don't need any.
Did we lose him? Did we lose?
No, can you hear me?
I got you.
He's
You're fading a little bit there.
My bad, man. I'm working, man, but it's at the same time, Mariota is enough. He's aware enough to know, even if he is playing as great as Steve Berline was when Troy Aikman got hurt.
You're bringing all those quarterbacks, those journeymen. Well, Berline was young, but you're bringing back all these backup quarterbacks. You could do a whole, you know, backup quarterback segment with me one day in the offseason. We could do that.
Call my agent and book me, man.
You don't need to be booked. You know how to get in touch with me. So here's the thing that I've heard from you. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 not confident at all without their two best players, 10 very confident, you're 10. But then you also said it kind of sets up as a trap game. So that's kind of where I am, even with Jaden and Terry. And then without them, I think it could be a problem without both of those players.
But like Jay Gruden did say, we're looking at a team that really ain't that good, that has a quarterback that's still going through some growing pains, even though he's 26 years old. They done cut the kicker. They done fired Ike Hilliard. On a firestorm.
Raheem's starting to feel it a little bit, even though he'll never show it. He's a cool cat and super smooth, as a communicator. But yeah, I mean, this is big. This is part of the issue, is that this is a big game for them. They had some expectations of being a competitive team this year, because they actually have a better roster than they did last year. And if they can't win at home this week, they've got Buffalo and the 49ers the next 2 weeks. This is part of the reason that I think that you're going to get their best shot. And so to go into that sort of situation without your two best players leaves me less confident than I'd be with our two best players. I got to run. Thanks, G. Ian, Clay, Athan, Scott, Chad, Bobby, Junkyard Dog, JYD, everybody on hold, stay there. The question is, where is your confidence level entering into Sunday's game against the Falcons without arguably the two best players on the field, Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin? I think we would have all said a few weeks ago, yeah, you're not going to win many games without Jaden and Terry on the field. But I think the feeling may have changed after seeing what they did last week with Marcus Mariota. Where's your confidence level Sunday if they go into that game without their two best players? Phone lines open, 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.